Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, guys, and thank you for making the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day, whether it's on YouTube. Keep on subscribing. Yes, it is the offseason, but we still got lots to cover this offseason. Is Carlos Correa going to be coming back? Who are the Astros going to sign if he goes? Which pitchers are they going to bring in? There's so much to cover this offseason, and we'll be here all offseason with you. So I know there's football going on and Rockets basketball going on, but we'll be here talking Astros baseball all offseason. So just tune in to the Locked On Astros podcast, and don't forget the audio version, whether it's on Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you do that. So, I don't know where to even start. I guess we could start about the big elephant in the room, and I guess that would be Carlos Correa. I know that on the Dusty Baker conference James Click or Jim Crane, one of them said that they were going to put their best foot forward and that they're going to do their best and make their best offer that they can do, whatever's within their formula, to make the Carlos Correa deal work. Mark Berman came out on Saturday and said, okay, here is what I'm hearing. And so basically the deal is from Mark Berman was that it was a 5-year deal for how much? $160 million. Which is about $32 million per year.
Right.
Yes, the money's good, but Carlos Correa says he wants a lot of money for a long time, and I don't think that's long enough. And it's like the Astros aren't listening. They're trying to throw more money at him, but
shortly after that, Randy McIlvoy reported that after Game 6 of the World Series, and he didn't state source, but he's actually taken this live on Click 2 Houston tonight, apparently, that the offer from the Astros was 6 years, $210 million, which would be $35 million per year. The bottom line is this. These are starting offers. Everyone's like, oh, but if you really want to keep him, you would honor him by giving him the deal you want to give him. No, you don't begin with your highest offer. You begin with what you're willing to give him with wiggle room, knowing that you have a max. And I don't know what the Astros max is. I'm telling you this, he's not getting a 10-year deal. He's not going to get an 8-year deal. He's going to get a 6-7 year deal, maybe an 8th year player option. Carlos Correa, if he wants to stay in this city and if he wants to keep winning over the next 2 or 3 seasons, he'll stay here. If he wants to go somewhere else and wait 3 or 4 or 5 years to win, then he would go to maybe the Tigers or even the Rangers. I know the Rangers is a real possibility, but Eric, it is a known fact. Guess who is guiding him through free agency?
I'm not sure.
None other than Alex Rodriguez, Mr. Super Shortstop himself, the one that went to Texas for $250 million back in the day when that was a blockbuster deal, who played with the Yankees, who is wrapped up in the steroid controversy, but he's guiding Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa looks up to Alex Rodriguez. I mean, what shortstop in MLB wouldn't look up to someone like A-Rod? But the bottom line is the 6 years, $210 million, I think is
$35 million per year.
Yeah, that is a great offer. I don't see why you wouldn't take that. But then again, I'm not Carlos Correa, and I'm not inside the head of Carlos Correa, and I'm not in the house of Carlos Correa. And so whatever Carlos and Danielle decide, because I promise you, she will have a say in this. He will take that. Some interesting things, you know, he was in New York with Machete, to watch the UFC fight, and everybody knee jerked. Oh my God, Carlos is in New York. He's going to the Yankees, and all the Yankees fans were gloating and slobbering all over themselves. it was really pathetic. The interactions I had with Yankees fans this offseason has not disappointed or has not raised my level of like respect for them at all. They have hated Carlos Correa. They have hated this Houston Astros team. They're all malign cheaters. They're terrible people. But the second the dude hits the free market, they're like, oh, Carlos Correa is going to be the next Yankee. Well, here's the thing, Eric. They don't need a right-handed bat. They need a left-handed bat. There's a guy out west in Seager that I think fits their needs more than Carlos Correa. So, Eric, you know, this
I think the Yankees need more Seager more than the Astros do. I think they need more than they need Correa. So,
I'm saying the Yankees need Seager. The Yankees need a left-handed bat. That's exactly what I said. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. The bottom line is, Eric, how high do you think $35 million gets it done?
What they're doing is they're probably trying to up the ante and trying to say, okay, we'll give you a little bit more per year, shorter term offer. We're not willing to go 8 years. You probably want 8 years. But as I think it was Jay Roberts says, if he took 5 years, that he could still earn another lucrative contract at 32. I don't know if lucrative would be the right word, but he could still get another big deal. Well, maybe for 4 years at that time at 32. We've seen players get, I don't think he'll get an Albert Pujols like deal, but he can get another deal then. And the Astros could always extend him at that point if that is what they both sides desire. But I think at this time of his career, he really wants to get that long-term deal. So he wants 8 years. The Astros are willing to go 6 years, according to Randy McAvoy. And this is – it's funny. It's like Mark versus Randy. And it seems like everybody kind of trusts Mark Berman a little bit more. And I don't know
I what think that it's, is. Well, I think – honestly, I think that has to do with good Lord, I can't talk. Everybody is more familiar with Mark Berman than they are Randy McAvoy on these topics. Mark Berman, I think, has a room at the airport, and he's there whenever someone gets off the plane or there, you know, when to leave. But this is something I want to address because I think it adds to our conversation. Mr. Corona says, guys, can you please put the Diaz to third base and the Bregman to shortstop narrative to rest? It's annoying me that people think that's a good option. Mr. Corona, I have tried. It is like beating your head against the wall. It is like taking a brick and saying, eat this brick instead of a hamburger. People will not listen. Bregman is not going to get a shortstop. Bregman's not only his injury issues, but just you're not going to put him at short. He has found his home at third base. You're not going to put Diaz. Do we remember some of the Diaz like fielding faux pas? He's not been that great of a fielder. He's good as a pinch hitter. He's good as a utility guy being put in here or there. And I'm not going to mention the other name that the people in the chat are throwing out there. I won't. But the bottom line is this. Bregman's not moving to shortstop. If Carlos Correa isn't here, they're either going to offer that money to someone like a Trevor Story, or they're going to bring up Pena and just ride with who they got and go spend that money on pitching. Because Crane did say, I know for a fact we need two things. We need a pitcher and we need a shortstop.
Yeah. So this is what Crane said. Everybody knows that we need a shortstop, but we need some pitching and maybe another player or two. And he said that we're going to give him what we think fits into our formula and hope it fits into his formula. And if we have to make a move to compete and close out on something, we've always done that and we've got the resources. And he said that if you're looking for a number, I mean, we kind of know what he's looking for. But listen, we're going to try to sit down and put, as you said, just put our best foot forward. Give him something that we think. So I already said that. As James said, I love Carlos just like everyone else. In fact, I'll see him tomorrow at the event. So we're still supporting him. He's been a great player for the city. He's a fine young man. He does a lot of charity work around town and admire the way he handles himself. So hopefully we'll be able to get something done. So the Astros are putting their best foot forward. And so, I mean, 5 years, if it's Mark Berman's 5 years, $160 million, that's not the best.
Right. Now, when they say we're going to put our best foot forward, he didn't say we've already given him our best foot. He was this, like I said, negotiations. It is a poker game. You do not show your full hand. You don't show Carlos. If you're willing to pay him $280 million, you don't tell him that up front, because then he's going to ask for $300, and then it's going to have to compromise at $290.
But what happened with George Springer when he's like, you offered him this low ball deal and he's like, okay, yeah, that's too low. Peace out. And he didn't even there's such thing as offering too low. I mean, I know this is a little bit closer to what he's looking
32
for.
32 is like $2 yes. million off what he's asking.
Right. I know. But there's such thing as too low of an offer. And that he's looking for 8 years, 5 years. I mean, I know the money is kind of close, but there is such thing as too low offer. And it's frustrating me. It's making me just want to just turn this podcast off and watch some DirecTV.
Okay. I see you're going with that. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get your TV together at DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Now, Eric, you say that about, you know, I think Correa and Springer are different. Now, I think Correa is going to garner a much bigger bounty in this free agency thing. I think Springer was already rubbed the wrong way because of the holdover when he was supposed to be a rookie a year before he was when they went to save money. I think that was one thorn in the Astros side. Number two, I believe the Astros got the communication from him up front that he was not coming back. And so if your guy's not going to come back, you're not going to offer him what you think he wants. And so I don't really think they put a whole lot of effort into that signing. Another thing I see a lot of people saying is Jim Crane's a cheap owner. He's cheap. No, he's not. Jim Crane has literally brought this club into existence to where we have reached five straight ALCS. We have three World Series under our belt. We have one title, and this is a group that is going to be competitive beyond that. He's not only brought in James Click after Lunau got removed and ousted, but the analytics department and the scouts and everybody that's in this minor league system has been under his leadership. He's not cheap. Everybody has to know that he's also not going to mortgage the entire future of the team for one player. Right now, we have 8 of the 9 players returning from the 2021 roster that went to Game 6 of the World Series. That is a positive, stepping in the right direction. Whether Carlos Correa is a part of that or not, I think remains to be seen. And here's another aspect of this, Eric. The CBA has got to be settled before the teams make a ton of moves in this free agent market, because the owners are going to want to see where they stand financially, what the consequences are for spending so much, for going to a certain level. So until that CBA is really agreed upon, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of massive moves before that occurs.
I think that's why the Astros are trying to get a deal done now, because they don't want to be waiting around for this. So somebody asked, how much is Francisco Lindor making? He is making $34.1 million per year. And I believe that his deal was for, let me see.
It was for 10 years.
10 years, yeah. So Correa wants to make at least 8 to 10 years. So that's what Correa is looking for. The Astros are not, because Correa and Lindor came in at the same time. They're very much comparable. Correa has just won his first gold glove. Lindor already has a gold glove. So they pretty much have been compared all throughout their career so far. So I think that this is a situation where Correa wants to be paid just like Lindor. And so we'll see that. We'll see where this falls in situation. But at the same time, Correa has to understand that this is not New York. This is not a situation where they have all this money to throw. But if you look at what you just said, that the Astros have been with pretty close to the CBT, the competitive tax threshold for the past two, 3 years, and they've actually gone over for 1 year. So this year they're at $206 million, and this year it was $210 million. I believe the talk is that they're going to go down to $190 million next year. I know that all is decided on what happens with the bargaining after the talks that supposedly right. happens. And I know that there could be a strike or a labor stoppage, or not a strike, but a labor stoppage. So we'll see what happens with all this, but the threshold could be going down, and you could have a floor where if you don't spend enough, then you could have to pay tax on not spending enough. So we'll see. We'll see the days of the tanking, so to speak, going away. But the Astros have gone over the luxury tax threshold at least one season, and they probably would have gone over in 2020 had it not been for the shortened season. So the Astros are going to do what it takes to win. They have $70 million going off the books, but it's not just about 2022, guys. It's about what are you going to do when you have to pay Alvarez? What are you going to do when you have to re-up Altuve, Tucker, going down the line? There's a whole bunch of players you got to think about. Like if you re-sign Correa for 10 years, are you going to be blocking? Well, you can't re-sign Alvarez now.
Because Alvarez and Tucker both come off in 2025. They go into their arbitration years. But here's what they did do. They offered a qualifying offer to Correa and Verlander, which means, Eric, that they will get compensatory picks that will come after the competitive balance round B, which is around pick 75 to 80. And so that is a key cog in this, that whether they accept it or not, if they don't accept it and they reject it, they get those picks, and they get awarded those picks low in those low rounds because they didn't go over the tax threshold. So that is the silver lining here. The Astros also have like kids coming up like Corey Lee and people like that are going to fill, I think, some holes that will come open later. But getting back to Carlos Correa and the CBT, I really believe that we're going to have to wait until December 6th or 7th for us to see a whole lot going on. Because when you just start delving into the free agent market, Eric, when you start looking at who got qualifying offers and who didn't, it's pretty insane the big names that are out there. And it's pretty interesting. Someone pondered earlier, they're like, do you realize how furious Dodgers fans would be if the Astros brought in Clayton Kershaw on a one-year deal? I mean, that would make so many Dodgers fans mad. And, you know, there is so many chess moves to be made here. The bottom line is another frontline pitcher. If you don't get Carlos done, if you're offering that kind of money, does someone like a Trevor Story come in and do the job? And everyone's like, well, yeah, Coors Field and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, but this is Minute Maid Park.
I still take Trevor Story.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this isn't, you know, Truist Park. This isn't one of the largest ballparks. This is Minute Maid Park. This is the juice box. And I think his skills would play out well here. He is a highly skilled guy. I think his AAV by SpoTrack is around 29. Now they have Eric, they have Carlos Correa at 26. It's kind of odd that they have those two flipped. And I think their numbers at times are off, but they do a lot more research than I do. So this is what I'm saying. It's not the end of the world if Carlos Correa doesn't sign here. But the Astros are going to make an honest effort, and they are going to make, I think, a real effort, not a George Springer effort, if I may use that term, but a real effort to get Carlos Correa to stay here. And if he walks for bigger money, You can't blame the guy because every one of you watching would do the same thing. If someone said, hey, you can get 32 here, you can go there and make 37 or 40. You're going to make
40. And we're talking about 1,000, not million for you.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, if someone offered me a $120,000 teaching contract, unless it was just like a ridiculous move, I would definitely probably move districts just for that. So don't tell my school that.
All righty. So to kind of close out on, well, we'll probably be talking about Carlos Correa a lot, but this is what Click said. He kind of, I think they both said this. Click said Carlos Correa has been a huge part of the organization. Obviously, we're going to put our best foot forward to make sure this continues. But the nature of the free agency is that there are 30 teams out there, and Carlos is going to make decisions that best for him and his family. We obviously hope that that's Houston. We're going to put our best foot forward, and we have to be responsible for the team and make sure that we're putting a winning team out there. Carlos Gray is a champion. He's a winning player. We're just going to be a conversation to see if we can line it up and he can come back here, but we hope that he will. So I think we're going to table it for a second, and we got a whole bunch else to talk about, and we can come back to this later. But you know what? I'm a little hungry. I had early dinner. I think I need to go get a Built Bar.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Thanksgiving's coming around the corner, right? You love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I know our listeners love Thanksgiving. But the problem is you eat so much food and all these massive, yummy desserts and the calories. Like, if you're counting your calories or you're keeping up with your diet, you might as well throw that out the window. So instead of having to do that, you know, you can indulge a little bit in Thanksgiving. But instead of grabbing that pie that's like 300 calories on the low end, grab a Built Bar. Instead of like the coconut cream pie, grab the coconut Built Bar. I mean, instead of the raspberry pie, grab the raspberry Built Bar. It's wrapped in 100% chocolate, real chocolate, I might add, with 19 grams of protein, most bars, 130 to 180 calories, only 45 grams of carbs and sugars in each bar. They are great. You can share them with your family. Order now using the promo code LOCKED15, and you can have a box sent to you and bring it with you to Thanksgiving. You're like, hey guys, we have dessert, but it's not going to hurt. So there you go. I rhyme, I'm a poet, and I didn't know it, but surprises are happening all month. Limited time offers arriving at built.com regularly. There's nothing like Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com and get 15% off your first order using the promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, LOCKED15. Tell them HL Wheelhouse sent you.
Alrighty, and thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. Whether it's on YouTube, keep on subscribing, keep on liking us, and whether it's audio version, listen to us on your way to work, on your way home from work, while you're cooking dinner. There's so many different ways you can listen to your podcast. You can talk to your Alexa device and say, "Hey, yeah, I don't want to say it because it'll come on." But just whether you listen on not Alexa, but on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, listen to your Locked On Astros podcast. So there's some other news. Some guy got rehired to be the Astros manager. I think his name is Dusty Baker. So he's going to be back for one more year. And he said that this was an easy decision. Both sides wanted it. This was a decision that he felt like felt good, and he had unfinished business. And it's not just about getting the 13 more wins to get to 2,000 wins. This was something that he wasn't even considering until he came back to work with the Astros. But now that he's here, he's like, yeah, I want to get that 2,000 wins. And if you're a manager, you would want to get that situation too. So Dusty Baker's back for one more year. James Click says that they're hopeful that the rest of the coaching staff, minus Brent Strom, are coming back.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, everybody talked about Dusty Baker. We talked about Dusty Baker a whole lot on this show, and he was one of my favorites all season. If you follow the show, you know that I complained a lot about his moves. And, you know, that's fine. I mean, I'm sorry. If you wear the uniform and I'm on this podcast, I'm going to criticize where I feel like criticism is needed. But, of course, Dusty Baker did a masterful job through the playoffs, so I tip my hat to him, and congratulations to him. I loved in the press conference how he said, "Wait, I wasn't retired. I was without a job." Like, there's a difference. Like, I didn't choose to not be working in baseball. And there was another question. I forget if it was Chandler Rome. I can't remember whose voice it was because they never showed the reporter asking the question. They said, "What does it mean to you for Click and Crane to bring you back after a successful season, because in the past, you've had successful seasons and you've been let go. He said, because it's different here. He said, those circumstances were a lot different than this one. He said, the clubhouse we have, the leadership we have from the top down is basically second to none. And he said he was honored. He was really happy because he said, hey, we got some unfinished business. And, you know, Dusty Baker won me over, not just through the playoffs, but in this press conference, because I always wondered, like, does he really want to be here? Is he just kind of waiting it out? Is he hoping he wins a title and rides into the sunset? Well, apparently, he's got more in the tank. And apparently, I misread. And so, Mr. Baker, I solemnly swear that I apologize for.
So you'll never say one more bad thing about him?
I didn't say that. Now, there's a difference between giving constructive criticism and just being a jackwagon about it. And I'm not ever going to be a jackwagon about it, but I'm going to give criticism where it's due, because I expect that in my life from my you know, people who I work with and coworkers. And so even though Dusty Baker doesn't give a flip what I think, I'm still going to be critical here and there. I do believe, though, that this clubhouse loves him. I do believe that this coaching staff loves him, and I like what Brent Strom did. If we could transition into that. Brent Strom left knowing that if he stayed, it would hurt the Astros' chances of keeping their other two pitching coaches. And he wants those pitching coaches to stay here and build a legacy. He's going to go somewhere else and do something. He didn't really say he was going to retire. I think he's going to go do something else in baseball. He's probably going to end up somewhere on a staff. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a bench coach. I'll be real honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if he did something more than pitching coach. Good for Brent Strom. What a run, Eric. What a run. This guy turned Keuchel, turned Morton, turned Peacock. I mean, the sky's the limit. You know, Lance McCullers, all these guys turned them around or helped them through things, and they are the pitchers they are because of Brent Strom.
Yeah, I think that it was just a situation where he just got a little too comfortable, and he needed to change the situation. And Dusty Baker said that he had talked about it earlier this year, but he urged him to kind of put all his efforts into the year and not worry about the future, even think about the end. And then the end came. He made up his mind. Nobody has to tell you when you're at the end. You know it in your heart and mind that it's the end, and the end, at least for this era here in Houston. And so, yes, he's been the Astros pitching coach since 2014. You remember that year? That was like the end of the Astros suckiness. That was the end of the process. That was year
the last
before,
year suck.
Yeah, that was the year before the Astros made the playoffs the next year in 2015, when we weren't supposed to make the playoffs, but we did. And that's a year we faced the Royals. But Jim Crane said that we're happy to have Dusty Baker back. He's done a great job with this last year. Everybody knows he's great in the locker room, great to the fans, great with the media. We're very happy to have him back. And also, Dusty Baker said, here in the situation, we really wanted each other. That's what a relationship is all about, when both sides desire and want each other and know that we are best working together as a unit versus separate. It's so, so sad.
What? That's okay. So Mr. Corona says, so is there a good chance we aren't losing a spot? No, there are no like massive jobs out there that are desirable. If Spada stays another year, I think Dusty Baker stays one more year. I don't know that he stays.
It becomes the more of the guy that makes the decisions this year. I mean, I think Baker is the head guy, but I think you're going to see Espada take more of the decisions over this year. I mean, it's going to be kind of hush hush, but
I really think they're priming Espada. He's been here long enough. He's earned his stripes. And whenever Dusty Baker does leave, whenever he does retire or does something else, Espada absolutely is target number one for the Houston Astros. We did see that Bob Melvin left the Oakland A's to go to the Padres, which I thought was an interesting move. Oakland A's are in basically yard sale mode, where the Locked On A's host, Jason, is saying, hey, offer me a trade. like he's in charge of the trades, and he's like, offer me a trade for our players because we're apparently going in rebuild mode. And it's weird because they went out and got Marte. They went out and made adjustments to their lineup. And, you know, Eric, I don't know that the Oakland A's are going to be as competitive as they have been in the past. And watch the Angels this offseason. The Angels this offseason, if they're smart, if they care about winning, they're going to be after some of these guys that aren't getting qualifying offers, and the Angels just might go after some of these pitching, unlike they have in the past. So the Astros competition next year is going to be Seattle and Anaheim. I still think the Rangers are going to they may get hot here or there for for maybe a few weeks, but they're still going to be kind of in no man's land. But they do have some hot prospects that are brewing there in Round Rock for them.
Yeah, I don't want to read this whole quote by Dusty, but he said, I was talking to some of our sabermetrics guys, and I said, I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks. And they said,
I like it.
Depending on the dog.
Well, I guess he's talking about himself, huh?
Yeah, he said, no, some other person said that. And then Dusty said, that was a compliment, I guess. So
yeah, no, exactly. No, and did you see Dusty Baker go full Spanish? They asked him to answer a question in Espanol, and I think other than the accent, I think Bregman may have him on accent, but as far as like fluency in Spanish, someone said Baker's Spanish is better than Bregman's. I was like, dang, man, throwing out the shade to Bregman, because you know Bregman's been working on that. He's really prided himself with this career. Now, some of the things that people are mentioning here in the show is the gold gloves, who got them and who didn't. And yeah, we're gonna address that. And with Carlos Correa winning his first ever gold glove, his price just went up a tad, kids.
Yes. So I know the Astros had candidates for gold glove, and I'm surprised that Zach Greinke didn't get it. I don't know what pitcher got it, but Zach Greinke has always been a good defensive guy, but whatever. And some guy that can't play defense at first base anymore in American League because he's 37 years old, apparently was good enough to win an American League batting title, and also he won his first gold glove. That's Yuli Gurriel. Congratulations, Yuli Gurriel, for getting first gold glove. And also, for the first time ever, Carlos Correa is now got his first gold glove. This is something that he probably has never gotten just because of his inability to stay healthy. But this is the first year that he stayed healthy, and he's got a cannon for the arm. We've seen him make great defensive plays all year round. But the main thing is he stayed healthy. So those are the two guys that won the gold gloves for the Astros. And there's a case for Maldonado. There's probably a case for Greinke. I didn't know about Tucker.
You talking about, so Kyle Tucker, Carlos Correa, Yuli Gurriel, and Zach Greinke.
There's only four.
There's only four. The fifth one would have been Miles Straw. Got beat out by, I believe, Michael A. Taylor won over Miles Straw from Kansas City. And the reason why he beat Miles Straw is because that dude's got an absolute cannon. He can cut down runners from center field. Joey Gallo got it over Kyle Tucker. Now, I think Gallo had more highlights in the reel that they showed going in. Someone said Dallas Keuchel beat out Greinke. Did he even pitch all year? How does Dallas Keuchel?
But he was always Greinke? A good defensive gold glove type.
Yeah,
guy,
but
so I can, yeah, see, what, I can whatever. See that
snubbed. And then Maldonado got snubbed. That's all there is to it. Maldonado. The reason why Gallo won it over Tucker is because he cut down a lot of runners on the bases. And this is Gallo's back-to-back gold glove. But good for Yuli. Yuli, I'm sorry, Keith Law, that was a terrible, terrible write-up that you made. And you're a national guy, really? Come on. You swung and missed on that one for sure. You're like Cody Bellinger against Lance McCullers in the 2017 World Series. You couldn't hit the broadside of the barn with that pick. So good job there. Carlos Correa ups his like stock, just like going into free agency, going, I am like... Like, Carlos Correa is king of the world right now. He didn't perform great in the postseason overall. In the World Series, he didn't show up. That is, I think, a knock against him. But he did secure his gold glove. It's his defense that people talk about. It's his home runs in late innings. 2020, he was clutch. And so, basically, what we need to do, Eric, is this team needs to make sure that they, if they don't secure Correa, that they don't overpay someone to come in. And if they don't overpay, they've got to say, okay, Jeremy Peña, he is, I think, priority number one, or like person in line next, but his strikeouts for me are a big concern.
Yeah, no, he's playing in Dominican League right now. Then I can't think of his name, the other guy at the
Pedro
moment.
Leon.
Pedro Leon. He's playing in the Arizona Fall League right now. So they're getting some valuable experience. They played a full season at in the minors. So we'll see what they can offer. But same time, with a team like the Astros, you don't want to go into a season having to rely on a rookie. This year you had to, in terms of, with Miles Straw, and that was the situation. Well, Miles Straw played, so that's not really a fair comparison because he played before, but then you had to rely on Chaz McCormick, and then that kind of turned into be a good thing. But you don't want to go into a season relying on a rookie.
Obviously if you have Peña, you're going to have some sort of platoon at that position if you don't sign another big free agent. That is huge. And so it depends on where between now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Peña had the injury and he missed a lot of the season. I totally forgot about that.
No, that was, well, he said Leon had the broken finger.
I thought it was Peña. I thought Peña was out for most of the year, and Pedro Leon.
Both of them got injured. Okay. Leon had the broken finger. Peña had the broken wrist. Peña broke his wrist and came back and was absolutely crushing the ball. Now, Peña does have a lot of potential. He does have a high ceiling. I believe his arm is obviously not as strong as Carlos's.
Yeah.
His glove is pretty comparable grade-wise, but it's not at the level of Carlos. You're not going to replace Carlos for Carlos. You're going to get something different. If you get Story, maybe you get closer than what Carlos actually is. Yeah. And so, I agree. But if the Astros don't go out and get a free agent, they're going to have to bring one of those guys up, and they're going to have to do the maturation process at Minute Maid Park. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah. And so the Astros are going to do their due diligence to get the player they want. And I know there's so much that we didn't get a chance to talk to. One of the things I want to talk to about on the next podcast is what Anthony Castro-Vince had. He predicted where some Astros players would go and who the Astros could possibly get. We'll talk about that in the next podcast. And we'll talk some more about this Carlos Correa situation, and we'll talk about some more, but also some more Astros moves to kind of clear up the 40-man roster. So we'll talk about that. There's just so much that we could have talked about this, but there also one thing that I did want to address. Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien were added, offered qualifying offers. So that is something that the Astros would have to consider. If you're going to offer a deal to either one of those, you would have to give up a pick to the Rays. But at the same time, the Astros did offer a qualifying offer to Carlos Correa.
You mean to the Blue Jays?
Yeah, to Blue Jays. Then I guess, I don't know why I said Rays, but to Blue Jays. But the Astros did offer a qualifying offer to Carlos Correa and Justin Verlander. Carlos Correa is definitely going to turn it down. Justin Verlander, we'll probably talk about this tomorrow. There's a chance he may accept it if he wants to rebuild his, just say, hey, yeah, guys, I can still pitch. I know I've missed 2 years, but I can still pitch. I'm not saying it's a big chance, but there's still a chance that he could do it. So it's November 17th. So we'll talk about that on the next podcast as well. And guys, keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast, and go check out the Locked On MLB podcast as well. I mean, yeah. Prospect podcast. A lot of podcasts out there that y'all need to listen to. We'll be back tomorrow with another podcast, and go Astros. A lot of news, and we'll talk some more about it tomorrow. So guys, keep on listening to Locked On Astros, and we'll be back tomorrow, and go Astros, and listen to us all off season.